scripture reading is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17. I'll invite you to stand as we read the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Please be seated. Our speaker today is Sister Megan Blackmore, and she comes to us from the Connecticut Valley Adventist Church. We welcome you to our pulpit.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. I hope you guys are all doing well. I'm happy to be here, and I've been really happy with this warmer weather we've been having, especially in February. Fred said, I am from Connecticut Valley, and I attend there with my husband, who unfortunately can't be here with me today because he's our musician. But we've been friends with the Dombrowskis for quite some years now. And this morning, I wanted to share a message with you all that is pretty near to my heart, as it's something that I have personally been struggling with for some years now. And I know that if I'm struggling, there has to be at least maybe one person here or online or somewhere in the world that is struggling with it too. And now, I'm not one to speak very long, so I hope to hold your attention for at least the next 20 minutes or so. But before we begin, let's take a moment for prayer and to prepare our hearts and our minds. Lord, we thank you for this Sabbath day. We thank you for the freedom to be able to worship you this morning. We thank you for the message that you want people to hear this morning, and I pray that I am your vessel and that I remove myself completely out of the picture, Lord, so that it is your words that are shining and ringing through this church this morning. Help our hearts and our minds to be ready for your message, and help it to be open to hear what it is we need to hear. We thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what I think? I think you should go to sleep, wake up in about 10 to 20 years, and then tell everyone how good you could have been, or how much more you could have done, if only. If only you started 10 years ago, if only you put in the work, if only you didn't get distracted, if only, if only, if only. A couple of months ago, I heard this quote, or one very similar to it, and it's been ringing in my ears ever since. Go to sleep. Wake up in 20 years, and then tell everyone how good you could have been, or how much more you could have gotten done, or how much more you could have accomplished. I apply this quote to my own dreams of being a writer or even a best-selling author, but something that also has been in my heart regarding this quote is my work for the Lord. What if tomorrow God puts me to sleep and I wake up again and it's at Christ's return and I'm standing at his gates and God himself is looking me in the eye and he says, what happened? What happened, Megan? I thought you wanted to be a writer. I thought I gave you a gift and you were going to use it to change lives or to help teach others about me. What happened? What have you done with the talents and the gifts that I have given you? And you know what I would say to God? Nothing. For I will have no excuse, no reason, and no way of defending myself for not doing the work I was supposed to do and called to do for him. I can't lie and say, oh, I was just too busy, work had me swamped, the kids are in my ears. I can't say any of that. Because God knows of all people how much time I have wasted in front of the TV, watching YouTube videos, or literally finding anything else possible to do besides the work that he has asked of me. It's odd, though, because honestly speaking, all I want to do is God's work, but all I want to do is not work. This is truly how I feel day in and day out, and it brings my attention to Romans chapter 7, verse 19, which reads, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." We all have this struggle that is laid out in these verses. There are things we want to do, but yet we never do them. In fact, the opposite occurs. The things we don't even want to even associate with is what we spend our time doing. It could be an addiction of some sorts, or watching too much TV, or not doing worship daily. There is always something someone doesn't want to do, but yet still does it, like what Paul said in his verse. As well as, there's things everyone wants to do, but just can't get themselves to do it. It could be writing a book. It could be working out or changing a diet. It can be getting help for an addiction or trauma, or even just waking up earlier. All of us, though, have a special and unique gift to offer the world. God didn't skip any one of us. No one in this room has been left without a gift. And it's with that gift that we are asked to share with the world and with others. And it could be writing, it could be speaking, it could be teaching, or the gift of music or healing, the gift of leadership, or simply the gift of just listening. This list could seriously go on and on because there are so many gifts and talents to go around that the Lord has created. But we were all given something, and it's with that something we are to use, share, and accomplish the Lord's work with. But this takes us back to our dilemma, right? About wanting to do God's work, but simply just not doing it. I know I want to write another book. I have the characters, I have the plot twist, the scenery, the climax, the timeline, all of it is figured out. But do you know what I'm not doing? Writing it. I wait for the perfect moment. I wait for myself to have that feeling inside. I wait for the sun to shine perfectly on my desk. I wait until the house is quiet and I'm alone. I wait, and then I wait some more, and then I never do it. Something always comes up. And some might call this lazy, and I'm pretty sure that is part of it, but it's also much more than that. But what could it be? Why is it that I can't bring myself to do what I want and what I need to do? What was it that held Paul back from doing the good he so desperately wanted to do? But all he did was the wrong he was trying to avoid. It's an interesting question, and I don't believe it can be solved with a black and white conclusion, as everyone has their own reasonings. But you see Paul in that verse, and I will repeat it again now for some clarity, and it reads, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do it, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice." In this verse, Paul is referring to the difference between his human, sinful nature and his heart. His heart that is desperately seeking and chasing after the Lord, his heart wants to obey and to do God's will, to listen and accomplish what he is told to do. But his human sinful nature is pulling him back in the opposite direction. Our human nature is the side of us that tells us to put things off, or in my case, to keep waiting for that feeling before I actually sit down and write something. And this human nature side is strong. It knows exactly what to say it, and how to make us feel in order to cave into its words. Because ultimately, this human nature sinful side is in fact the enemy. The enemy, as you all already know, will do anything and everything possible to keep us from our life source, our creator. He wants us to be ripped from our caregiver and to fall for his cunning and deceiving ways that we are better off without God. And we see this clearly laid out in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13, which reads, "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your mind may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Paul here is saying exactly that. He is afraid that through Satan's sneaky and crafty ways that we will be led from Christ and right into the arms of the king of lies. And now, what does this look like in regard to getting the Lord's work done? It looks like this. "Oh, I have time. I'm just going to do it tomorrow. I'm too busy. Work has got me swarmed. It's late now. The kids are just calling my name, my husband, my everything." And it also sounds like Proverbs 24, verse 33, which says, "A little extra sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest." Procrastination, delaying, putting off, avoiding, all of these actions is us falling for the traps of the enemy, who is trying his best effort to keep us from accomplishing the will of God. You see, Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 through 6 says it best, as it reads, "Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Remember the quote I mentioned in the beginning about going to sleep and waking up 20 years from in the future and then telling everyone how great you could have been at something? Now, although we're not doing the Lord's work to grow fame and fortune and to brag about how amazing we are, this quote and those verses in Psalms are quite parallel to each other. And I don't think we quite get or understand how quickly life moves. Most times, it's like we blink and decades have gone by. For instance, my husband and I have been together 12 years this year, but it just seems like a couple months ago we started dating. Or, for instance, I graduated college back in 2018, which was 4 years ago, but yet so much time has passed, and it feels like I just graduated. It's like I like to use metaphors, as I'm a poet, and so it's almost like time has boarded a train, and it's traveled around the entire world, but you missed the boarding, and you were left at the platform. And it's been years since it's come back for you, but the whole time you're waiting, it just feels like a couple seconds. We all have a work to do for the Lord. We all have a duty before God, and it is our responsibility to do our work. But this is all good and all. We know we have a work set before us, and we might even know what that work is, but yet we still have no motivation to do it. So what next? Matthew tells us in chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So what's our next step? Seeking the Lord. This means an earnest prayer, an intense Bible study, in praise and in worship. If we feel stuck or unmotivated and not willing to work, we must take this before the Lord. You see, this is not just a motivational battle. It is a spiritual battle in the least. Allow God to enter your mind. Release the thoughts of doubt, of laziness, of fear, or shame, or whatever is the root to your lack of motivation. Because when we conform to the ways of this world, getting lost in distraction, in marriage, in kids, in work, or even just our daily life troubles, our fears or our concerns, we have put a huge wall up between us and God. Which is why it says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which I'm sure you all know, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So yes, our first step is to seek the Lord. Allow him to enter our minds, transform them, and get them back on track where they need to be. And although this step sounds simple, it might not and more than likely won't be an overnight change. There might be a few steps along the way to get your mind and your thoughts back where they need to be, especially if they've been conforming for quite some time now. But the good thing is that no matter what, the Lord has the ability to transform us and to create us anew. So even through the process of changing, we have this hope to hold on to. When God begins to bring us back, we may begin to realize certain things about ourselves that might need a little bit more of God's help. Our lack of motivation is usually much bigger than simply just not wanting to do something. There can be many things laying at the core of this frustrating obstacle. In my case, it turns out it's depression. It's not confronting my childhood traumas. It's about me burying and hiding my true and raw emotions. Now, it doesn't seem like those two things would connect, motivation and childhood traumas, but they do. How can we expect to dive into and dedicate ourselves to a work or a dream, but are weighed down by so much grief or anger or hurt or lack of forgiveness? Those traumas or intense emotions that haven't been dealt with are like a weighted backpack that you lug around day in and day out. Eventually, you'll either gain the muscle to carry the weight, or you'll keep adding weight and not gain any muscle and collapse. When we take this first step and seek the Lord, we may find some hidden labyrinths along the way, but that's okay. In fact, that's amazing, because that will only free up more space in your heart, in your mind, and in your being to serve God, and then to attack the work at hand. So yes, Seek God. Lay it at his feet. Tell him your dreams, your goals. Tell him the work you want to do for him. But then listen for his response. As he may tell you, no, not yet. Or he might tell you something else he needs you to do. Or he simply will tell you, yes, yes, go for it, because I will be there every step of the way. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, which I'm sure you all know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lead not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. We have so many promises from the Lord when it comes to doing the work that we are called to do. So let's listen to a few more. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, it says, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. And again in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 3, I will give you hidden treasures, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. And lastly, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4, which my husband loves to say around the house all week, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. All of these hidden treasures, wealth, and the opening of heaven's storehouses can mean a bountiful of things. Yes, it could be the obvious financial gain, but it can also mean so much more important things. Salvation, saving souls, or growing closer to the Lord, or like your food pantry here, feeding people. But I must remind you all, before you go out and start attacking your dreams and laying out your goals and work before the Lord, I need you to remember 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. Whether your goal is to be an author or a singer, a lawyer, a mother, an amazing husband or wife, or whether your goal is to change your diet and exercise more, whatever you are feeling called in your heart to do, do it for the Lord. Because when other motives get in the way, fame, money, whatever it might be, Satan then has an entry point. And then all your work will slowly become corrupt. So I ask you all this, or I pose this question to you today. What is it that will be on your heart if you woke up 5, 10, 20 years from now and you look back on your life, and if only you started then, what could you have achieved? You're never too young to start now, and you're never too old to start now. What would it be for you? Whatever is on your heart or your mind right now, I ask you to take it to the Lord. Place it at his feet and hear what he is telling you next. You might be struggling to get started or staying motivated in a work you've already began. You might be discouraged or afraid or full of doubt, but I must say this to close. If it is the Lord's will, and if it is God's desire for you to do it, you must believe it's going to get done one way or another. And you must believe that it needs to get done. So no more putting things off. Start today. Start right now in a simple prayer. Just start right now. And to close, I usually always end my messages with a prayer and a poem, as I am a poet. So I will begin with a poem I have written, and then I will transition right into a prayer. So here is my poem I entitled, My Dream Deferred. My dreams lay out in the sun to bake, to be burned and seared. They shrivel up like a raisin in the sun, according to Langston Hughes. My dreams are a part of me. They are work the Lord has called me to do, but I lay on the pavement and wilt away too. God's work left undone. Dreams that are not chased and hunted down and captured and made your slave will rot away any motivation you have left. And I guess I have started to rot away then, because I have been leaving my dreams to scorch under the heat for years now. I want so badly to do the Lord's work, but all I want to do is not work. But I must save my dreams before the sun has soaked up every last bit of its being and they fully wither to a raisin. I must take them by the hand and reel them in, for nothing should stand in the way of my work for the Lord. Not me or you or the enemy's sword. We are called and we have a purpose. And it is this we must discuss with our Creator, for the time is now to pick up our cross and place our hand on the plow. Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts, for the talents, and the work that you have called us to do. Help us to be open to what it is you are asking of us. Help us to chase after our dreams and our goals according to your will with gazelle-like intensity, God. Help us to avoid any unnecessary obstacles that we put in front of ourselves. And help us to just chase after you, because that is the best thing that we can do. Forgive us, Lord, for delaying. Forgive us for putting things off. And forgive us of so many sins that we have in our hearts. We thank you again for this Sabbath day. In your name I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.